Hi, and welcome to the Pentecost Today podcast. I'm your co-host, Steve Mancini, and with me, as always, is the Executive Director of Pentecost Today USA, Alicia Hartle.
Steve, it's great to be here, and all of you who are joining us, thank you for being here and for the amazing grace of how you are seeking a closer encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's been fantastic. We've been hearing from people from all over the world just saying, you know, I'm intrigued by the healing mass. How do we bring that to France? Or, you know, I would like to hear more about this, or I have a question. So we're excited to hear from you. It's a huge blessing to us. Some people are writing in and sharing their testimonies, which we hope to potentially have some of those people on as guests. And so we thank you for being here, and we invite you, as you're listening now, and even as we enter into this time, to really place ourselves in the presence of the Lord. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, magnifying you, praising you, exalting you. And even now, Father, we just stand in awe of the work of the Holy Spirit in our nation and throughout the world. And we offer this time asking Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that there would be just a holy grace that goes out from this episode, that all who hear it, even as we enter into this episode, Lord, that your Spirit would fall afresh on every one of us. And we pray this for your honor and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, Alicia, as always, we appreciate all of our guests, all of our listeners. And it's kind of funny what you said. The whole point of this is to get the message out, obviously, and it's to bring people on that have experience in this, different kinds of experience. The irony is I'm the, as we would say, the yin to your yang. I have definitely become closer. I have definitely learned a lot more things since I've kind of gotten involved with the charismatic movement. But at the same time, I still have a lot of questions, and so do a lot of, you know, people that are out there listening. So, you know, as you're listening to these, there is no expectation that you have all of these things and you've got it all figured out. In fact, if you do, you probably don't need to be listening to us. So, you know, of course, I say that kiddingly, but at the same time, like Alicia's point, if you are listening to these and you do have those questions, you can always reach out to us. Please come out to the website, PentecostTodayUSA.org. You know, we've got a questions section out there. We've got a lot of resources out there. So you can go check it out. You know, and if it creates more questions, that's good. Because the truth is you're never going to have all the answers. So the more you study, the more questions you're going to have. In fact, that's kind of the true indicator of intelligence, isn't the person that says, I know it all, I don't need to study. Because once you've reached that point, you're just essentially arrogant. And in which case, I can't give you anything more. But the truth is, we'll never know it all. And that's the whole point, is we've got to keep it's. I love the one thing I've adopted from kind of my journey is it's a path. It's a path that we walk on. And again, there is guidance out there. So, you know, as always, we like to start these shows off reading, you know, from the Doctrinal Commission, because this is sort of, I don't know if the word is right, but I like to say it's a blueprint to kind of get people started and say, okay, what is this whole thing about? So every episode, we like to start off with a little, you know, reading out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This comes from the Doctrinal Commission. And we, you know, we kind of talk a little bit about it. And then more importantly, we try and get our guests. We've got a wonderful that we're going to introduce her in a second. She's being very patient right now. God bless her. But don't worry, ma'am. You're going to get a chance to talk here in a second. So let me just do a quick reading, and then we'll kind of kick it off and introduce our guest and then kind of discuss what we've, you know, what we've just read and what kind of what we're feeling inspired to read today. So in the sense, baptism in the Spirit corresponds closely to what St. John Paul II often described as an encounter with the living Christ, Jesus experienced as the Savior and Lord who graciously acts in our lives today. The encounter with Jesus brings a profound awareness of the love of the Father poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
And you know, Steve, thank you so much for reading that quote. That profound experience of the Father's love is one of the first things that, especially if someone's come through a life in the Spirit or entered into their first prayer meeting, maybe charismatic prayer meeting, they're saying, you know, I just felt something different. And oftentimes it's maybe not even recognized, but there's a profound experience of the love of the Father. And today's guest will share with us some of how she came into that experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, of receiving the love of the Father, and also some of the extraordinary ministries the Holy Spirit has brought her into since that moment. So Loretta Freilich is joining us today, and she is an attorney and a retired prosecutor in Chicago, Illinois. She graduated from St. Mary's of Notre Dame, and she serves in leadership for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Archdiocese of Chicago on the service team, and she is also a board member of Pentecost Today USA, which was formerly known as the National Service Committee of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of the U.S. She is a lifelong member of St. Luke Parish in Illinois. She graduated from an archdiocesan lay ministry training program, and she is actually the co-founder of Warriors of Worship Ministries. And she has done a lot of work in coordinating the Catholic Charismatic Conferences, both nationally and internationally. So Loretta is actually also a co-host of the Winds of Change radio program, which is at 7:50 a.m. in Chicago, Illinois. So in case you listen today and you say, you know, I want to keep walking with Loretta Freilich, I want to hear more, you can always tune in and meet her there. So Loretta, welcome.
Well, thank you, Alicia and Steve. It's nice to be with you today.
No, we're glad you take time out of your busy schedule. I didn't realize, it didn't dawn on me, that retired prosecutor piece.
Front row seat in the theater of the absurd. It was a wonderful opportunity to see the power of God every day.
And it was out in Chicago or near Chicago?
It was in Cook County, which includes Chicago and the suburbs.
Ah, so that probably wasn't a very exciting job.
No.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, first of all, thank you. We always appreciate the fact that people do, you know, they take time out of their schedules to spend some time with us and kind of relay their story. Now, the nice thing is that we've got people all over the world listening to this. So we, you know, this is an opportunity, not for Alicia and I, but for you as somebody who's spent a life, you know, walking with God, walking with the Spirit, and, you know, really seeing it in a day-to-day kind of the world where a lot of people just don't see it. They're just so consumed on the earth. And, you know, the more I read, the more I realize, you know, the importance. We've got to step out of the day-to-day stuff. But obviously, not everyone has that experience. So sometimes it's just you're lucky enough to have been raised that way. Some people have that kind of aha moment in life. But I want to kind of start off with your moment, Loretta. Were you essentially a cradle? It was easy from day one, or was there aha moments in your life? How did it start for you? Let's talk about your background here.
Steve, nothing but aha moments, nothing but the suddenlies of God, nothing but Him showing up in every part of my life and calling me to follow Him, which a lot of times means I had to change what I was doing. And I think we forget, and that's why scripture study is so important, because I think we forget, you know, this is not your 1950s Catholic where everything's black and white and there's no gray and you do this and you're going to heaven. We are in a spiritual battle. You know, it is not between flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, as St. Paul tells us. And the Lord, who is so, so good, does not leave us alone or without the weapons. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important that when the divine God came down and began His first, you know, His public ministry, where did He go? He went to the desert with his cousin John, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the heavens opened, and the Lord said how, God the Father said how pleased He was with the Lord. And then again, at the end of His ministry, after He tells them to go to go to the room where we had the Passover, go to that upper room and be there again for a new Pentecost. And He finds some of His followers on the way to Emmaus, and He shows up for them. And He says, no, I want you, when they realize it's Him in the breaking of the bread, He says, I want you to go back. Don't be discouraged. I have the gift of the Holy Spirit for you. And when we remember that the Holy Spirit came down on all of the apostles and the women in the room, these were men that, but for John the apostle, these were men that were willing to die for what Jesus called them to. And each one of them did. And so we have to be those people. And you asked, kind of long story long, but you asked, you know, how did I get there? I had a beautiful Catholic education. I had two wonderful parents who believed in education, especially Catholic education. When I went to my grammar school, my Catholic girls' high school that my mother had gone to, when it came time for college, my parents said I could go anywhere I wanted. But if I wanted them to pay for it, I was going to a Catholic girls' college. And there weren't too many of them back in the day when I selected St. Mary's of Notre Dame. And I had a wonderful education, more experiences that were just blessings than I can count. But I remember sitting in my parish church and praying to God and saying, if this is all that is, I want a do-over. And within 2 weeks, I was at a healing service. 2 more weeks, I was in both a Catholic women's Bible study and a non-denominational non-denominational charismatic prayer group. And I've never looked back. It's been one heck of a ride, and I've loved every minute of it.
Lauren, I want to go back to something you said. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Alicia here. I have finally finished the cross and the switchblade. She just gave it Jesus and hallelujah. But I want to go back to something, because you said something about the 1950s Catholic. And I thought that was very interesting, because the irony is, to your point, when you really seek God, what you find is eye-opening. And I almost think there's no way to go back. Listen, I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I sin. But there's no way at this point in my life I could ever at some point wake up and go, nah, there's no God. It was all wrong. Like, I just couldn't do it. And like I've always said to people, you could have the debate on religions, but I'll never debate you in the existence of a God. But I want to go back to something, because you said in the 50s, there was a different mindset. But that book, I'm just using that book as an example, you know, the evil of the world has been here. You know, it is not something new. But for some reason, and I don't know if it's a humanity, we always want to look back in this fondness like it was the good old days. Right. But yet at the same time, it's like, no. Evil's been here since the day one when humans got their souls. We make mistakes. We rebelled against God. So why, in your opinion, why... Again, you seem like you were probably a good Catholic growing up, but yet there wasn't enough. Why is that not enough, though? Because there's a lot of people, I think, go into that kind of, you know, that kind of lackadaisical, like, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, I throw some money. I gave up, cookies for Lent. Yeah, I'm good, you know. What is the disconnect? Why does the baptism of spirit have to be something special? Why don't people just seek it out inherently or even know about it?
Well, I think, first of all, that, you know, we minimized the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We did, us humans. You know, this was a church. I mean, supernaturally, it's coming back in Encounter Ministries as they're teaching us about the power of our Catholic identity and the power of Jesus in the sacraments, the power in the name of Jesus. And I think sometimes we put God or Holy Spirit in this box over here, and we'll get you out when we really need you. I mean, how many families, and I can say, you know, ours was once one of those families before. There's an emergency. We get out those rosaries. Well, how about living a life where you don't have to get out the rosary? How about living a life where the rosary's already out, but so is the name of Jesus as you pray for people and declare their healing in his name? How about, I mean, I'm foolish enough. I don't know, what's that phrase? You know, Loretta goes where angels fear to tread. When you are asking me to pray for you, and even if it's in a store, in a conference gathering, you know, in church, you ask me to pray for you, it's not going to be at nighttime when I go to bed. It's going to be right now, here. Let's see what the Lord reveals in that prayer. Let's see how the Lord wants to move in your life. What is the Lord showing us? Because we kind of lost it, and it was in the beautiful story, as I'm sure you've heard before on your show, but the beautiful story of Blessed Elena Guerra writing to the Pope saying, hey, I got this little girl and she's very prayerful in my school, and I really feel the Holy Spirit telling us to tell you we need to invite Holy Spirit back into the church. And the irony of it all is the Pope agrees, writes an encyclical to the Holy Spirit, it's Pope Leo XIII, and then what happens? Holy Spirit breaks out over the Protestants, and we've been playing catch-up ever since till we got to Duquesne University, and it was the same hunger. If you read Patty Mansfield's book, I think it's As a New Pentecost, and she talks about how when they went into the chapel on this retreat, because they had talked to their teacher, the one who was mentoring them through this life in the Spirit, when they went to him, they said, we're hungry for more. We as Catholics didn't know about this Holy Spirit. And so what does a good God always do? There's always more for the hungry ones. And so he comes down in power, and I really recommend your listeners read that book, because the analogy of the plumbing not working and then getting the water to flow, it's all just a reference to what Holy Spirit does. So I think a lot of times we put Holy Spirit aside. We are especially in the United States, we are a very accomplished people. If we don't know how to do something, we'll learn. And even now, instead of going and getting that second degree, we'll go on YouTube and we'll watch the YouTube video that tells you how to do something. But now the Lord is using the life in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, his very self, to show us how we're going to renew the face of the earth.
Mm. Loretta, I love that you kind of point us back to the Duquesne weekend, even the students experienced that expectant faith that they took hold of. They read the cross and the switchblade. They had someone walking with them, inviting them to receive, to put themselves in a posture of receiving. And, I think there's something spectacular about that moment, being university students who prayed with expectant faith, renewing their baptismal promises, renewing their confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation during that retreat, just really praying with the sacramental graces they received and saying, I want to see this as a reality. And kind of coming almost like that moment that you experienced where you said, Lord, is this everything? I want more. But I love also that you point us back to Blessed Elena Guerra, because there is something awesome that in the face of the height of the fall of Christendom, the height of incredible division among Christians, incredible corruption even within the church, that she's writing letters to the Pope and saying, hey, what about the forgotten person of the Trinity? What about the Holy Spirit? And oh, would that the Veni Creator Spiritus, were as common as the Hail Mary. And so
yes,
I think
yes.
there's some heart-piercing questions that she asked that we still today need to be asking. Loretta, the Lord, I love hearing that kind of that transitional moment for you of like wrestling with the Lord and kind of crying out. But it would be great for those who are listening just to hear some highlights of how did the Lord launch you into ministry from that point. I know your mom was very faithful, maybe involved in part of that journey, but just you've had it. You have, even over the past, but even today, you have extraordinary ministries that you're a part of. So if you can share some highlights.
Alicia, I think the first thing that should be said is, you mentioned my darling mom, and the first thing that should be said is we had troubles in our family, just like other people have troubles in theirs. Mm-hmm. And we had a very difficult period in our family life where my father, who was an alcoholic, was an active alcoholic and drinking, and that needed to end for our sanity, for his salvation. And so my mother started going to a prayer group unbeknownst to me. And I have a brother and two sisters, and God knows why. Her prayer at this prayer meeting was that I would become part of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. So I don't even know why it was me out of all the other kids, but in I came. And the first thing that I found that was so interesting, I had a hunger to know about the Lord. And the group that I was involved in, we were doing a Bible study on the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. But then I also, you know, God always equips, you know, those that he calls to walk alongside of him. I entered into a two-year program in the Archdiocese of Chicago that's coupled with the permanent diaconate. And so the men would then go on to learn homiletics for a third year, but we were always working together. And so one of the things that I find so interesting is, he gave me the education that I needed. He gave me the contacts that I needed. You know, my teachers were both lay and religious. I learned so much from all of them. And there was really that time that I wasn't breaking out into ministry. But then he started putting me in the path and coupling me up with others. And, one of the ministries that I have really enjoyed working in is Warriors of Worship. And I was waiting to introduce a speaker. Maybe people have heard of her, but her name's Maria Vidia. Maria travels, her witness is incredible. You got to get her on the show. But one of the things that happened was we both were just sharing our heart. And I said, you know, I've got this desire for a women's conference, that we would just praise God for who he says he is, just God. And what we, and then she said, you know, I have that same vision. And while she was on the plane leaving from Chicago back to Miami, she called me and said, let's do it. And the next thing I know, we're planning conferences all over the United States and in Africa. And I can tell you some of the experiences that I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a woman from Trinidad Tobago by the name of Deborah Di Rossia, and she was about to give her talk. And my girlfriend and I were like, wow, she was really good last time. Let's go up in the front where all the Holy Spirit fire is calming down. I'm not making this up. We ran down the main aisle to the front. It was as if we hit a wall and bounced back and landed on our bums. We didn't get hurt, and we were just sitting there on the floor looking at each other like, the power of the Holy Spirit is real. And we need to know that in our lives and in our faith, because the world, like I used to say, the world is so worldly, and there's a lot that needs to change. And it's only going to change the way God wants it to change if we step up and say, yes, I'm going to do your will. Where are we going, God?
Let me ask you kind of a two-part question here. One, I believe you get out of something what you put into it. And you made a point before where people only go to church a lot of times when it's bad news. They don't just go for the day-to-day mundane stuff of, hey, you know what, God, thanks, I'm alive. Like, that doesn't seem to be, a lot of people don't think that way. So kind of two parts here. One is, you know, why do you think when you see people that have this kind of like almost an odd happiness, I'm like, to me, I'm almost like, what's the matter with these people? These people that are baptized in the Spirit. I mean, these people are kind of weird. But at the same time, I see this joy and this unapologetic, this fearless life. Like, nope, there's a God, and there's no doubt in my mind. You know, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen, you know? So why don't more people strive for that? And as a result, you know, what is the impact of, if as you strive for that, whether you get the aha moment or I think the good Lord's just putting me on a path. And I believe this. I believe I'm not going to have an aha moment. I think what I'm going to have is I'm just going to, as long as I stay on the path, God's going to be faithful. He's right there with me. But I'm okay. You know what? I don't care. As long as I stay on the path. Oh, she's going to tell me that. But I want you to answer my first question first. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
I'm going to pray for an aha moment for you.
I know there's at least one other listener.
An aha moment for you. Oh, Steve, the Lord loves you so much.
And I believe that. And I believe that.
I know you do.
Absolutely do. And I pray every day, and I thank him every day, and I try and live a good life every day. And my point, though, and again, this is just my opinion. I don't think everybody is supposed to have the aha moment, because I don't know that he – I think he gives to each as he feels you need at that moment. And maybe there will be a time where he says, you know what, you've had enough. All right, I'm gonna. Here's some lightning bolts. Okay, you believe in, you've been doing good. Here you go. Or I really need you back on the path. Whatever it is, I don't know. But it's not my place to possibly comprehend his plan. I just have to trust and just keep walking day to day.
Steve, the Lord has a supernatural life for you that is unlike anyone else's, and he stands waiting to give it to you and to break it open for you. That's what I cried out. I had a good life. I had everything I needed. I had, you know, I had friends, I had family, I had a job. Life was, I even worked in New York for a while where everything was paid for by the client that I worked for. But it wasn't enough. I wanted that something more. And the Lord blessed me with a supernatural life. And he has one for each one of us. And that's our goal. Because he gave you, he gave Alicia, he gave me a purpose and a plan that's different from each one and everyone else. And until we sink into that plan and enjoy that supernatural life, the kingdom that we need to bring to earth will not come. It's coming. He's here. But our job is to bring heaven to earth until we get to heaven. And the supernatural lifestyle is what comes through with it.
But don't you, but real quick, I want to chime in. I know Elise is going to ask, but I know, but real quick though, but Paul does speak that we all have different charisms. So we're not necessarily all meant to have the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing.
Oh, yes, we are. We're supposed to pray. St. Paul tells us we are to pray, and we are to pray for the charisms, and most of all, we are to think prophecy. And
agree.
But the Lord's not going to give you a gift you don't want. My mother, to her dying day, used to pray she wouldn't get tongues.
But he's also not necessarily going to give you the gift that you want. He's going to give you the gift. He's going to give you what's right for you. It's part of a larger plan. I mean, we can't all have the same gift.
Why would he put a desire in your heart? Why would he put a desire in your heart for something and then turn around and not give it to you?
I would just say,
isn't that what he says? Wait a minute, Steve. Isn't that what he says? If you who are good would give your child a stone when he asks for bread, or a snake when he asks for fish? He's not making a judgment on how you ask for a gift.
Yeah.
But if you do ask for something, he will give you, what's that word? The desires of your heart.
If they align with his will. But if they align with his will, because I could want, I could want what's wrong for me, though.
So I think maybe there's something more fundamental than desires at play here.
By the way, I love this conversation.
And so, I know, it's so good. It's so good. There's so much fire. You know, I think there's something even more fundamental, and maybe Steve, and maybe this is something to pray with, but I think that aha moment that you're talking about, and Loretta sharing that my life has been aha moment after aha moment, deeper and deeper conversion, more and more adventures in the Spirit, the grace of the awareness of the supernatural, the eternal reality of God's power and presence touching what is here in the natural. And I think what Loretta's trying to share with you, Steve, is that just even that basic definition of baptism in the Holy Spirit, this life transforming experience of the love of the Father poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit, received through surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that was the normative experience of every baptized Christian in the early church.
Amen.
And so that is for everyone, every single person who's baptized. That's actually at the heart of our mission. Oh, Lord, that everyone who is baptized would live a radical, joy-filled, peace-filled, holy life in the Spirit to its fullness. And then the other part of that is the charismatic gifts are something that we kind of, not that we look at separately, because when we realize, Lord, I am a temple of the living God, your Spirit dwells within me, when there's receptivity, the gifts pour in. And,
right.
And desires are awakened, and it's this beautiful love song and love story that the Lord is writing. But I think, Loretta, maybe we're not finished yet, but maybe at the end of this episode, we could pray for Steve and for anyone else who's listening for the aha moment.
Bring it on, Alicia.
Listen, but you know what? Whether I have it or not, I will say this, though. Whether I have it or not, I will sincerely say that my life has been transformed, but I just see it more gradually. Mm. I don't think it was like, and I've read a lot of, and a lot more you see here I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the Catholics, but I definitely hear about a lot more in Protestants where people hit rock bottom and they literally just drop to their knees, and you'll hear it over and over. And I just cried out to the Lord. There's nowhere else to go. And all of a sudden, boom, it hits them. And they're like, they feel this joy and this peace. I mean, Is that the expectation? I mean, we're supposed
that's
to.
That's one of them.
But I mean,
that's one of them, Steve.
But that happens when people hit rock bottom. What about if I don't? What if I'm? I'm not saying I haven't hit rock bottom. I don't mean it in the sense that rock bottom is a place we should all be striving to get to, so we can just suddenly all of a sudden surrender to God. I mean, no matter what your situation is, you should be willing to give it all up for God.
Okay, Steve,
true?
Go ahead. Give it all up for God.
I gotta pay the bills.
But I think
no, I'm kidding myself.
I know you are, but in the same token, Steve, you don't have to hit rock bottom or know you hit rock bottom. I'm a Eucharistic minister in my church. When people come to receive Jesus, and they've got these very sad, painful looks on their faces, they may not know it, but they've hit rock bottom. We should be receiving Jesus with the fullness of joy in our hearts that we just want to scream, glory to you, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. If I was the only one, you would have done it. And now you want to have fullness of life in me with you. And yet you see the people coming forward, not a smile on their face, not looking with expectation to receive, but just kind of sad. Those people have hit rock bottom in my eyes. Mm. And, you know, it's not that they can't come back from it. They sure can. But we need to have a church that is as alive as the early church was, and living out the gifts and the charisms and the, wait, I'm sure you know this, Steve and Alicia, but in the, what's really so sad for me right now in the pro-life movement, do you know that in the olden days, like when Jesus was running around, that if a child was born with something that was the matter with them, or the dad just didn't want them, or, shocking, a girl, if the father did not acknowledge the birth by touching that child or looking at it, they could throw the child away. And by throw it away, I mean take it to the garbage dump and leave it there. It was the early Christians living out the fullness of their faith that went to the garbage dump and took the deformed children or the cleft palate child or the girls and brought them home and raised them. And so it was the early Christians that changed the culture. I mean, we're now back, and this is a topic for another show, but we're now back to where it was, where we throw our children away in the abortuaries. But we changed the culture by being fully who we were in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And that's a pretty hard thing to do, and yet the power of the Holy Spirit can do anything. And so that's, I think, why the Holy Spirit is trying to wake us up again, because we have a world that needs this power and needs to know the fullness of God. And in all of this despair and sadness that's out there in the world, needs to know Jesus loves them.
Well, the irony that you said that is because you talked to the You know, I'm a professor at a university, and you talk to a lot of academics, and they, and you know, people want to say, "Oh, we're so smart. Look how advanced we are." We are literally the same people we were 2,000 years ago. We just got fancier gadgets. There's nothing different about humanity, nothing at all. But with that being said, though, I do want to transition because you are the chair for the Novena team. And I do want to talk about that because that's getting ready to start here in about a month and a half. So please tell our listeners about the nine-year Novena.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I think is so powerful is that we're inviting so many people all over the world to join us in a Novena that's going to take us 9 years. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, it ought to be easy peasy. And first, we're going to start with praying the Novena for the renewal for the first 3 years. And then we're going to move on to the church. And then the last 3 years will be for the world. We have a simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. I already have a grammar school that's going to start their day with that over the intercom as they say their prayers. And so that's the simplest form. The second will be the second prayer, if you want to spend a little more time, will be praying the Chaplet to the Holy Spirit, written by Blessed Elena Guerra. And then the third will be more lengthy, intense prayers that we're all familiar with. But what's beautiful is we're uniting together to do it. And so we, Pentecost Today USA has been working on this for quite some time. It is, interestingly enough, not a new endeavor because this was what Blessed Elena called for. And then again, the accidental, yes, we'll pray for the Holy Spirit and it falls on the non-denominational churches. But Father Tom Forrest, who I believe was a Redemptorist, but he was a priest who used to travel around. He had the worldwide priests conferences where he would bring priests to Rome and they would just renew who they were as God's priests and in their ministries. And he even had years ago suggested sort of a 9-year prayer campaign to restore Holy Spirit to his rightful place. And it's going to, you know, again, it's still flushing out. We're still working on it. You know, we'd love to hear from people if they have suggestions or prayers. I mean, we were just talking the other day, and I mentioned to Alicia and David Peterman, who's also on our committee, that I have found a rosary to the Holy Spirit. And it's a rosary that you can pray your rosary invoking the Holy Spirit in different ways. So there's lots of ways in which we are trying to incorporate this into people's lifestyles. So again, we are a supernatural people with a supernatural lifestyle that includes putting Holy Spirit over us like a canopy and inviting others to come and join us.
So Loretta, I just want to chime in on that Holy Spirit rosary, because it turns out that when I was growing up, I actually had one in my bedroom on my little trophy, and I had no idea what it was. And I didn't find out what it was. I had it my entire life. I still have it. And now, for about the last, I would say, 6 months or so, I've started praying that Novena, the Holy Spirit Novena, every day. Now, I'm not going to say I do it 7 days a week. I forget sometimes, or I go to bed late or whatever. But the point, though, is that it was there my whole life. Now, again, you talk about the aha moments, and I remember telling you about this, Alicia, like a year ago, and I said, that's one of the, when I found out who the Elena Guerra, and I said, what the heck? This thing's been sitting next to me my entire life. I had no idea what it was. So there's
Steve,
your
aha
moment. There's your aha moment.
I got a secret for you, Steve. You have a purpose and a plan that no one else can fulfill, and the Lord has instilled it in you, and he is coming for the rewards of his salvation for you, and he needs your help in order to set the world on fire. So that little aha moment, you know, is going to lead to more aha moments. You know, I had a similar situation where We always prayed the novenas. I mean, my mom, she's a good Catholic. All those good novenas. She has her prayer books. You know, she used to pray 3 hours a day, but that's another show. But I was studying for the bar exam, and so I would go to my bar exam class, and I would come home, and it was about at 10:30, 11 when I got home. Every night, we were praying the Holy Spirit novena. And you know, it's 9 days long, the longer one that we'll ask people to join in. But it's 9 days long. But when we got to day 10, we just started all over again. And we were praying that I would pass the bar. And here was another one of my aha moments. I sat down for the bar exam. I opened my booklet. The first question was a contract question that involved the names of James, Joseph, and Elizabeth entered into a contract on May 9th. My three niece and nephew, James, Joseph, and Elizabeth, in that order, my birthday is May 9th. The Lord told me in that question, you are passing this bar exam.
Amazing.
Again, those aren't just coincidences. I'm learning that there are just sometimes they're just not coincidences.
That is glorious, Loretta. Loretta, we are.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And you know, Loretta, we're so humbled, so humbled. Loretta has been, she's been attending conferences of the NSC for years, and just has been an amazing board member to work with. And I think specifically with this 9-year novena, it is a mighty work of the Lord, and there's a posture of prayer that Loretta brings to a lot of the strategic planning, the intercession, the work that's happening behind the scenes. So Loretta, we're so humbled by the mighty grace of your zeal for the Lord and all of the work of your hands. Loretta,
praise God. Alicia, before we go to that, can we just add one more thing?
Please.
If you are going to be in the United States in October 2024, you need to be in Minneapolis, and you need to be attending Holy Spirit 2024. And all of that information, you'll hear way more about the novena, as you will coming up May 18th, when I know that Ark and the Dove is going to have an event that hopefully is streamed. And all that information Alicia can give you, because she has those web addresses right in front of her.
But Loretta,
we really hope everybody will join us at 2024. It's one thing to be afar and do a Zoom meeting and all that other stuff. It's another thing to be in the presence of the Lord when he pours it out, and that's going to happen at 2024.
Yes, Loretta, thank you. And you know, I think actually now's is a key time to share with all who are listening, wherever you are for the Pentecost Vigil, you can join us. It is a live stream May 18th, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Father Boniface Hicks will celebrate with a number of other priests at the Ark and the Dove. It's live streamed from there. It will just be a very small group actually on site. But those across the nation, around the world, who are interested in joining can all join in. Sister Nancy Keller will lead a time of praying for baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hopefully Steve will be there.
I better be now.
And we will enter into a night that really is moving through the movements of praying with and for each part of the renewal, the church, and then the secular world, so that it's like an overture. Even in the launch and through the all-night Pentecost vigil, people can tune in and really join in that time of prayer and intercession. So we hope you can be there. It is going to be glorious. And we also, as Loretta shared, every year of our national leaders meeting will now be like a stop along the 9-year novena's pilgrimage. So we really encourage you, pray about coming to St. Paul, and you can learn more about both of those events by just visiting our website. So we do, Loretta, before we go, we want to invite you to pray for all who are joining us, who, whether they're saying, you know, I had the experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was a radical change, but I know there's more, and I need prayer for that more, for me to surrender more, to enter in and to be even more receptive to the Lord. Or maybe someone's joining us and they're saying, you know, I've never had that aha moment. I haven't felt the Father's love or experienced the grace of just a complete surrender to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or seeing,
praise God.
Yeah, maybe someone just saying, you know, the charisms of the Holy Spirit, I want them. So
praise God.
Just
praise God.
Invite you to pray.
So that's our turnover to you, Loretta, to lead us in prayer now. So please, if
all
you
right,
could,
I got it.
All yours, ma'am.
I got this one. Thank you, Steve. Jesus, I just want to praise you and thank you for Steve and Alicia. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be on their podcast and to be one who just honors you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for all the ways in which you have graced every inch of our lives, even the ways we don't see where you stopped us from danger or for something harmful to our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for your mighty gifts. We thank you for the ways in which you hovered over the waters at the beginning of time. And now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to hover over all of us listening, all of us that will tune in later, all of us that somebody's going to pass this podcast along. You know your people, and you love your people, and you desire to bless your people, and it is all good. I pray for all the confirmandis right now that are in the schools that will be receiving confirmation and a greater outpouring of your gifts. And I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this world. You are welcome to fill your people. We welcome you, and we welcome the mission you send us to draw others to you so that they may give Jesus the reward for which he was crucified, and that a tremendous harvest of souls will come behind each one of us as we are anointed into that our heavenly forever. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And I want to pray especially that Steve have a humongous suddenly in the name of Jesus, and that he just give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 He's not just welcome. He's needed in these days. More
praise
than,
God.
I think humanity is doing everything it can to be as foolish as it can, and we could not have. This is the time, you know. The reason I was looking at the book here, and it said, you know, why the novena now? Because, I mean, there's a reason for it, but the truth is it's never the wrong time to pray. So thank you very much, Loretta. We really appreciate your time. I'm going to have you back because you and I have some debating to do, and I'm not done with this yet.
Oh, Steve, we got to meet up.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, the Lord has something so amazing for you. Can't you just feel it?
Well, I mean, if you would have told me a year ago I'd be doing a podcast for Pentecost Today, you know, I can't say that I'm not transformed. I just can't say that.
God.
I do want the aha moment. And I
know you do.
But sometimes maybe God says not yet. That's my, I don't know if it's a belief, a fear, or an expectation. I don't know.
All of the above, Steve.
Right.
Break them down, Holy Spirit. Lord is no respecter of persons. Just flood Steve in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Loretta. All right. For folks that are listening, Loretta, you are a fantastic guest, and I cannot thank you enough. I can't wait to meet you in person. And we're going to have you on because I've got 10,000 more questions to ask you. But folks.
Great.
But folks, in the meantime, please go check out the website, PentecostTodayUSA.org. Go read about the 9-year novena. We are starting May 18th is the streaming mass, but May 19th, we're kind of off and running at that point. So about another month and a half, plenty of time to go learn about it. And if you have questions, reach out to us. All of our information's out there on the website. You know, get involved. Start a small novena in your group, do individual, family, whatever, but pray, pray, pray. The world could not need it more. Just look around you, just pick up a newspaper, and you will see. If you cannot see that we need God more than ever right now, then you're just not looking. So please get involved. PentecostTodayUSA.org. Alicia, final thoughts.
You know, I think it's just important for us now, especially to honor Cardinal Cantalamessa. He actually shared in Rome that he was finishing his service to Charis International. And so if you do not yet know Cardinal Rinero Cantalamessa from Italy, he has been preacher to the papal household since 1980. We just want to welcome you to get to know him. He is still the preacher to the papal household, but he is no longer serving the Catholic Charismatic Renewal on an international level as the spiritual consultant, the episcopal consultant. And we are also very, very humbled just to share with you as you're tuning in that Bishop Peter Smith, who is originally from South Africa and currently serves in Portland here in the U.S., and is a member of People of Praise, he is now serving as the International Episcopal Consultant to Charis International. And he's walked with Pentecost Today USA for years. If you've been at any of the national leaders' meetings, he is there. He's one of the most humble, zealous renewal leaders you could find. So we want to invite you to get to know both Cardinal Cantalamessa and Bishop Peter Smith. And you can do that again by just going out to our website. We welcome you to pray for them both and really to honor them.
You know, Alicia, I know that you're wrapping up, but can I just throw one thing in here about Father Peter or Bishop Peter Smith?
Absolutely.
I had a wonderful time to speak with him over a meal, and I asked him, what's the one thing you would do differently, you know, as a bishop when you started out? And he said, I would ask my people to pray for me. So Bishop Peter Smith has a tremendous gifting. He also has a huge mission. And I would just ask your listeners to pray for him. Just pray for him. Mm-hmm. You know, say Hail Mary. You don't have to be, you know, oh, come Holy Spirit, come down. You know, just pray for him.
It's never a bad idea. For all of us, as far as I'm concerned. All right, folks, thank you again for tuning in. And Loretta,
thank you
very much, ma'am. And we're going to have you back someday. And folks, for tuning in. And again, the website is PentecostTodayUSA.org. Go check out the website, ask us questions, and hopefully you'll be listening to our next podcast in about a week from now. So thank you very much, folks.
Praise God.